center of my head.
It's very important to realize where we are. It's hard to get where we need to go if we don't understand where we currently are. I cannot give you proper directions to my house unless I know which way you're coming from. Well, this holds true spiritually as well. In the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 17 says, "But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger?'" The prodigal son came to his senses and finally figures out where he is. Once he realizes where he is, he finds his way back home. Today, I want to see where others in scriptures found themselves and then make spiritual application for us as well. So please stay with me for a few moments today as we discuss the topic of where are you? Second Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Let's let a few examples of others and their relationships with God teach us where we are so that we, like the prodigal son, can come to our senses and get back where we need to be. The first place that we find people in relationship to God is hiding from him. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. "They heard the sound," speaking of Adam and Eve, "of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord from among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" Adam and Eve hid themselves from God because they had become aware of their sin and they felt guilty. And I imagine that that's why many people today still hide from God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." We cannot hide from God, but many people think they can and still try to hide from God today. We think that by staying away from worship and staying away from other Christians, that we can somehow hide ourselves from God. This obviously will not work. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of God. Jonah is another example of someone who tried to hide from God, because Jonah did not like the request that God asked of him. So either we hide because we're ashamed of what we've done, or we hide because we don't like what God is asking of us. Are you hiding? And why are you hiding from God? We should be going to him for help, but all too often we find ourselves hiding from him instead, to our harm, not to his. The next place that we find people is standing still. Sometimes we're standing still and we're standing very close to God, but we really don't realize it. In Matthew 19, a rich man comes to Jesus to ask him what he was missing in his life. Jesus tells him to be complete, he needs to sell all that he has and give it to the poor. But this is right after the young man had told Jesus that he was following nearly all of the old covenant commandments. He seems to be doing a lot of good, but he was still missing something. He was very close to being complete, but he lacked the ability to give back what God had already given him. He trusted in the things that God gave him rather than trusting in God himself. The church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation was another example of people who were standing still. Jesus writes to them and tells them that they are neither hot or cold, that they were lukewarm. They were somewhat religious, but were also stagnant in their service to God. What about us? Do we feel that because we attend services or do some things for God that we're okay? Many times we want God close, but not too close. We want him there when we need him, but we want him at arm's length when we don't feel like we need him. Don't just stand close to God. Go all the way to him and serve him with all your heart. Finally, there were some that were walking away from God. In Acts chapter 8, we read about a former sorcerer named Simon. He was amazed by the authority of the apostles. He understood that what he had done was trickery, but what the apostles did was real, and he wanted to be part of it. However, he also misunderstood a lot of what the gospel was all about. He was mesmerized by their power, but not by the words of the gospel, and he quickly fell away. Do we fall away quickly when we don't understand or when we get offended by something? Our faith needs to be firmly planted. Maybe the best example was a man named Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Demas let the world lure him back, and he walked away from God." He had been part of Paul's entourage, both in Colossians 4 and verse 14 and Philemon 1 and verse 24. It mentions him as a fellow worker of Paul's. But at some point, Demas allowed the world to draw him back, and he walked away from God. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision, I assume. This was something I'm sure that happened slowly. We need to recognize before it's too late if that is happening to us. Are you tempted to walk away from God too? Do you find yourself slowly being led away? It's not too late to draw nearer to God. In Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul tells us that all of the troubles will be worth it. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Yes, we might lose some things, but what we gain in return is well worth it. So until next time, I encourage you to know where you are and draw closer to him.